This month, we're starting a brand new sermon series called Sand and Stars, and we're going to be looking at the life of Abraham, the father of faith, as we call him, and we're going to take a look at this really unique promise that God gave to Abraham, and then over the next couple weeks, we're going to keep talking about that promise that God gave him, and then kind of just journey through the process of God fulfilling that process, in spite of failures and in light of they weren't necessarily qualified to receive this promise, but in light of all of that, how God's promises stood sure and how he fulfilled these promises in Abraham's life. So where I want to kind of launch off from this morning is in the book of Genesis. I thought it's a new year, beginning of a new year, so we'll go to the beginning of the Bible. The first book of the Bible is Genesis, and in Genesis chapter 11, you don't have to turn there right now, there's actually a story in the last six verses of Genesis chapter 11 about a man by the name of Terah. And it's this brief history of Terah. And Terah is an extremely significant character in the Bible. Even though most people probably don't even know who Terah is the father of Abraham, the man that we know as the father of faith. And so Terah is the father of Abraham. And Abraham is the one that God called into the promised land. And then Abraham followed that call. In fact, Abraham spent his whole life following that specific call on his life to go into the promised land. But some people think, I tend to be one of them, that maybe Abraham was not the first person to have received this call to go possess the promised land, this land of Canaan. Some people think that quite possibly it was Terah that first received this call from God to go into this land of Canaan. He may have been the one that the original call went out to be the man that we know today as the father of faith. Here's why some people believe that. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 31, it says, "One day Terah took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarai, his grandson Lot, and moved away from the Ur of the Chaldeans." That was an area of land. He was headed, check this out, remember, Abraham followed the promise of God to the land of Canaan. Well, his father Terah was headed to the land of Canaan, but they stopped in the land of Haran. They didn't just stop there. The scripture says they settled there. And then Terah went on to live for 205 years, and he died while still in Haran. So, for some reason, Terah was headed for the land of Canaan. And what we've come to know as the promised land. We can't be sure, but it seems an interesting coincidence that Terah would be headed to the place that Abram would eventually be called to, and yet Terah never made it there. Instead, when he and his family reached Haran, he decided this would be good enough, and he settled there in Haran. What you have to know about Haran is Haran historically was a great town to live in. In fact, in Haran, it was there that it offered cultural development and amenities that many of the surrounding towns and lands didn't have. And so it makes sense why Terah would have stopped in Haran at least for a little while. But the problem was, is Terah didn't just stop in Haran. Terah decided to settle there. And so, in essence, Terah allowed this good town that had a lot of the amenities and cultural opportunities that many of the surrounding lands didn't have. He allowed this really good town to distract him from a really great land. In other words, he allowed good to be good enough instead of pursuing something that was great. And so because of this, Terah's story is pretty much forgotten. He didn't really do much to remember. I told you there's only six verses kind of sandwiched between Abraham's story here at the end of Genesis chapter 11. And so he ends up eventually dying in the land of Haran, letting the dream of arriving in Canaan simply fade away. And so that's how Genesis chapter 11 ends. And then the very next verse, and this is what we really want to get to this morning, the very next verse, Genesis chapter 12 picks up with Abraham's story. And this is a contrast, a complete contrast to Terah's life. Abraham's story begins with God speaking directly to him. Here it is in Genesis chapter 1. You can turn there now. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. We're going to talk about this in a couple weeks. Now, sometimes when God calls you to something great, he calls you to leave some things that are familiar. And this is what he's doing here with Abraham. Abraham now is living in Haran at this moment. And God tells him, I want you to gather your family and I want you to leave. I want to let you leave your country. I want you to leave your relatives, your father's family. And I want you to go to a land that I will show you. And then he says, I'm going to make you a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make you famous. You'll be a blessing to others. I'll bless those that bless you. I'll curse those who treat you with contempt. Wouldn't that be great, man? People curse you and God's like, I curse you. No, he says, all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. And watch, notice the contrast here between God's call on Terah's life and God's call on Abraham's life, because Abraham, he packs up all his things. He gathers his family. He assembles this caravan and he begins heading towards Canaan. Just like that. Abraham hears the voice of God. He considers his calling and he just chooses to follow God's word. And then a few verses later, once they reach Canaan, God tells him that he's going to give him this land. He's going to give it to him. He's going to give it to his descendants. And from this day forward, when he reaches Canaan, God gives him this promise. Abraham never settled again. He spent the rest of his entire life traveling around this land, claiming the promises of God. God specifically told him, Abraham, everywhere that you place your feet, I'll give you that land. And so Abraham chooses to never settle. He's always on the go. He's always claiming more of God's promises. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, fast forward a few thousand years, and the writer of Hebrews, presumably Paul, he's looking back. Hebrews chapter 11 is kind of called the Heroes of Our Faith chapter. It's kind of like the Hall of Faith. And it records different people in the Old Testament that just lived out a life of faith. And of course, Abraham is listed. He's one of the most predominant ones. He's considered the father of faith. And the writer, as he's looking back on Abraham, this is what he says. He says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed God when God called him to leave his home. Remember, he told him, I want you to leave your family and to go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. Now, watch this. He went without even knowing where he was going. God didn't even tell him where he's going. He said, I just want you to pack your bags, get your caravan going. I want you to start walking, and you're just going to go. And then I'll tell you where you're going later. And Abraham, through faith, he did this. And then when he reached the land that God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so from this day forward, Abraham chose, and I think you see the contrast. Terah decides to settle in Haran. Abraham chooses to live a life where he would never settle again. He never even built a home. Abraham never lived in a home. He lived in tents, and so he would set up camp with his family, and then it wasn't long after that, he would tear everything down and they would start to make their journey. And they kept traveling towards the promises of God. And everywhere they went, everywhere they placed their feet, no wonder why he never stopped. Because everywhere he went was land that God had promised him, and he never wanted to settle. He had learned this lesson from his family, not to settle for something good instead of pursuing something that was great. And so here goes Abraham. He doesn't know where he's going. He just goes by faith. And then when he gets to where he thinks he's supposed to go, he just lives by faith. He's living out of these tents. And then as Abraham begins to travel, the promises of God begin to unfold in his life. And then as he begins to walk by faith, God begins to make him some huge promises. I'm going to read them to you here in a minute. But I mean, God begins to give him some massive promises. promises in his life. Promises that were bigger than Abraham could measure. Here's what God tells him. He says in Genesis chapter 13, I will give you so many descendants that just like the dust of the earth, they cannot be counted. And so God's speaking to Abraham metaphorically. And he says, I'm going to give you so many children that they're going to be like the sand of the ground that you cannot. Some of you have taken this literally, man. You're like the baby factories at Red Chapel, and you're just believing God, and you're just popping those kids out. And just as many, some of you, we can't even hardly count them. You got so many kids. God bless you, man. Just keep living out God's fulfilled promises in your life. And so that's one way. God speaks the same promise over and over to Abraham, and he would use different language. And so then you fast forward a couple chapters in chapter 15, and God says to him again, God says, I want you to look up into the sky, and I want you to count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. I remember a few years ago, our family was on vacation in Hawaii, and we rented a car one day, and we drove out to this volcano. And it was an active volcano. We got out there really late at night, and we opened the car doors, and I'll never forget getting out of the car, looking up into the sky, and it was something I had never seen before. You know, we live in Southern California. We have polluted air, and so you don't get to see the stars all the time. But that day, that evening, got out of the car. It was so unbelievable. I thought the world was coming to an end. I was so startled. Literally, I was kind of fearful. I look up, and there's this vast amount of stars that filled the sky. And so I kind of think it was probably one of those nights when God tells Abraham, I want you to look up into the sky, and I want you to count the stars if you can, and that's how many descendants that you can have. Can you imagine that, trying to look up into the sky and count the amount? And this is the promises that God is making to Abraham. Can you imagine how overwhelmed Abraham must have felt having received this type of promise? And yet this was the promise of God. It was a promise. I want you, if you need to write this down, write this down. But I want you to remember this, because this is the way that God's going to speak to you for the next few moments. It was a promise that was more than he could measure. That's the way God was trying to speak to Abraham. This is why he's using these particular metaphors to speak to Abraham. In essence, what he's telling him is, Abraham, the promises that I'm giving you are more than you can measure. See, for Abraham, God was calling him to a place that he didn't have a frame of reference for. At that point, he had never seen the promised land. In fact, at this point in Abraham's life, he has no descendants. He has no children. He's never been to the promised land. And yet, that is exactly what God's promises to him were about. They were about land and lineage. Places that Abraham's never been, people that Abraham has never seen. It was simply more than he can measure. In fact, Abraham, God is speaking him to this way because he wants him to understand that he doesn't even have the capacity to understand what God was promising him. And yet God is promising it to him anyways, knowing exactly how he's going to fulfill his promises. Write this down this morning. The promises couldn't be measured, and because of that, they required a life that would never settle. And so Abraham spends the rest of his life pursuing these immeasurable promises. And I know what you're thinking. What does that have to do with us today? And here's what it has to do with us. Is like Abraham, I am completely convinced that God is still promising vast and infinite promises to his children today. And I don't mean just today. I mean like this morning, like right now, right here at Red Chapel. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has immeasurable promises for you, that he's calling you to follow him into the unknown, to take on a life that never settles, and to trust God in the process. He's calling you to believe. He has a promise for you that are more than you can measure. And then he's calling you to live a life in response to that calling that he's placing on you. And this may require a great deal, but forsaking the good for the promise of the great is always the wisest choice to make. And you may not have any clue how God's going to fulfill these promises that he's speaking to you this morning. You may not, like in Abraham's case, you may not have any children. You may have never seen the land, and yet God is calling you towards those promises. And here's where the tricky part comes is. See, when we live a life of faith, there are some interesting limits that we have to deal with in our life. This is the way God works. This is one of the ways that you'll know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, is he calls you to things that are beyond your limits. The tagline for this series for the month of January is a life without limits. And here's why. Because whenever God begins to speak to you, and let me just fill you in on this, the Holy Spirit speaks in the language of dreams and visions. This is how you'll know when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You notice when the Holy Spirit was first poured out on the earth, immediately the scriptures say young men begin to see visions and old men begin to dream dreams. Because that's the language of the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I believe this, and I've been praying that the Holy Spirit would just begin speaking to us this morning. And this is the language that he uses. And he speaks, this is why he's speaking to Abraham. He's speaking to him in these dreams and these visions. And they don't have a point of reference for it, something they've never experienced before. And immediately when the Holy Spirit begins to do that, your own flesh and the enemy those voices will start to speak out about the limits and the reasons why you'll never experience the promises that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And so for Abraham and Sarah, one of the first limitations they encountered was their qualifications. Now remember, God promised that they would give birth to a great nation that would outnumber the sand of the earth and the stars of the sky. And yet, here's what Hebrews tells us about Abraham and Sarah. It says it was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child because she was barren and she was too old. Like, you would think, okay, God, if you're going to speak some promises to a couple that they're going to have so many children, so many descendants, that it's going to outnumber the stars of the sky, the sand of the earth, you'd think you'd get a really fertile couple, right? You know those couples. Like, they're just always pushing out babies. No, God goes to a woman that is barren. She can't have babies. And to top it off, she's old. Like, it's not happening, right? There's no children coming from her. But yes, she believed that God would keep his promise. And then watch verse 12. I love this language. It says, and so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. I don't think I need to get into the specifics there, right? You understand? Like, they don't have Viagra at this point, right? The man is dead. Like, it's not happening. Him and Abraham and Sarah are not having children. But a whole nation comes from a man who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people. Here it is again, the same metaphor. That it was like the stars. This is the same promise God gave to Abraham. Thousands of years later, this writer of Hebrews is looking back and saying, a whole nation comes from man that's as good as dead. A nation with so many people, watch this, that they were like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. There was no way to count them. This couple was disqualified in every sense of the word. Sarah was barren. Abraham was good as dead. And yet, the promises of God still stood. Here's what I want to share. You got three limitations that I want to show you today that God's going to go beyond in your life to fulfill his promises. And the first one is that God's promises always go beyond your qualifications. Here's why I'm saying this one first. It's because I know how we naturally are. Holy Spirit starts to speak to us. We start getting vision. We start dreaming dreams. God starts putting things in our heart that cannot possibly happen in and of our own ability and with our own human reasoning and resources. And immediately we begin to disqualify ourselves from the promises that God gives us. And you know what I know? Is most of the time, these disqualifications, they're rational disqualifications. Like Abraham, maybe we feel like we're too old, we're good as dead, we're barren, whatever the case be, and yet God's promises still stand. Listen to me this morning. People are gonna criticize you. People will look at you and they'll point out all the very real flaws and reasons why you shouldn't receive the promises of God. They'll disqualify you any way they can. In fact, you'll even disqualify yourself. We don't even need people to disqualify us. We find every reason in the book why we have our own disqualifications and why surely the promises of God cannot be fulfilled in our life. But I want you to hear me this morning. God's promises go beyond our qualifications. God doesn't promise something that he's not going to deliver. It may take a lifetime. It may look something like you never expected, but God's promises are solid. And write this down this morning. Nothing you do can disqualify you from the promises of God. I know that is so hard for some of you to receive this morning, but I want to say that again. Nothing, because I want to speak a little bit louder than the voices in your head this morning. Nothing that you can do disqualify you from the promises of God. You can't be bad enough. You can't fall hard enough. You can't screw up enough. If God promised it and you have the faith to receive it, just know those promises are going to come to pass. Here's why I'm telling you that this morning. I want you to think with me this morning. Close your eyes for just a minute. I want you to think about all the promises that God has given you that you've laid to rest because you feel like you're disqualified from receiving them. Have you thought about them this morning? And here's what I want you to do this morning. I want you to pick those promises back up and I want you to claim them again because God's promises are given for a reason and a purpose that you cannot disqualify yourself from them. God's promises go beyond your qualifications. So for some of you, you need to reach over this morning and you need to pick the promises of God back up and you need to start claiming them over your life. Stop focusing on the disqualifications and just start focusing through faith on the promises of God. So, God's promises go beyond our qualifications. The second limit that God's promises will bust right through is your expectations. God's promises more than we can measure that goes beyond our expectations. Remember, God promised Abraham an entire land. An entirely new nation. And yet when Hebrews talks about it, this is what he says. He says, Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. See, Abraham, he hears the promises of God, but he still didn't quite understand it. His expectations were, they were off in some pretty significant ways, and yet God still kept his promise. In fact, That's really actually a pretty large theme throughout the Bible. God will promise something, and the person receiving the promise thinks that it's going to happen a particular way, and they begin to expect it to turn out this way. And then God, like God does, he always makes it happen in a completely unexpected manner. Here's why. Just note this down this morning. Is that God is the God of the unexpected. God's the God of the unexpected. So it makes sense that his promises would go beyond our expectations. So whatever you expect, expect that God is going to do bigger and better. And let me just throw this, it's going to be a lot different than maybe you could possibly think about it. Whatever expectations you put on the promises that God has given you, just be prepared to be amazed because God's going to blow your mind. God's promises go beyond our expectations. In fact, I think you should write this down this morning. Write this down. Grab your phone out. There's just a few things I want you to write. I didn't give you notes today because I wanted this to sink in this morning. I think the only expectation we should have when it comes to fulfilling the fulfilling of God's promises, here's the only expectation you should have. You ready? Is that they're going to be unexpected. That's the only expectation you should have on God fulfilling his promises on your life. Here's what you should expect, is that they're going to be unexpected because God's promises go beyond our expectations. So God's promises go beyond our qualifications, our expectations. And then thirdly, this one's my favorite, is that the last limit that God's promises will burst through is this, God's promises go beyond your imagination. This is why God speaks to Abraham and uses the language that he does. Because if we're to see what we cannot see, if we're to count higher than we can count, to possess a land that was larger than we can inhabit, we must be able to imagine more than we can imagine. When we trust that God's promises are bigger than our imagination, it changes the way that we are in the world. The limits for what can be reality must be completely recalibrated. If our imagination can't even limit God, then we need to buckle up and enjoy the ride that God's about to take us on. Understand that God works beyond your capacity for understanding. And when you do, listen to me this morning, it'll change the way you live. It'll change the way you talk. It'll change the way that you are in the world. This is why God is telling Abraham, you've got to separate yourself from the familiar. I want you to start thinking beyond your imagination, beyond what you have a point of reference for. Abraham, I need to separate you away. And now you're going to live. And so Abraham lives out his life completely different from his father. He talks differently. He lives differently. The way he makes his choices are different. God begins to change his thought process and his thought pattern. This is what God's trying to do. He's trying to do this in us this morning. God's trying to get us to change the way that we think. He wants us to go beyond our imaginations. God's trying to get you to think about something that you don't have a point of reference for. Some of you, maybe God's speaking, you've wanted to start a business, maybe. And God's speaking to you, and you don't know what that looks like. You've never done that before. And God's speaking to you about something you don't have a point of reference for. That's what I'm talking to you about this morning. Is God's trying to speak to something that is beyond your imagination. In fact, if you can think it, it's probably not big enough. It's probably not what God's referring to in your life. If you can dream it, it's not great enough. God's got more for you than you even can begin to understand. So here's what you have to do is you got to let God have control. You got to let God have control. You got to let God do his thing. You got to join in his mission of blowing your mind for what he wants to do in your life in 2018. This is what the way God's trying to kick off your year on this first Sunday. This is the language that God's trying to use to speak to you today. While I'm speaking, this is what I've been just praying this morning. God, just begin. I want the Holy Spirit just to speak to people the promises that he has for your life right now this morning. So I know what's happening. God's speaking to you, and then you got these voices that are trying to limit what God wants to. And that's why I'm trying to tell you this morning. God's promises go beyond our limitations. God's calling us to live a life that is without limits. Your promises of God in your life are not limited by your qualifications, your expectations, or your imagination. What God is speaking to you this morning, you need to grab hold of that and lay claim to the promises of God on your life today. I'm closing, but I have to share this story. It's probably been about 10 years ago. And there was a pastor that I'd always admired. He was up in Northern California. And his grandfather actually had started the church he was pastoring, and his father became the pastor, and both of them had passed away. And he had assumed the pastor of this church, and it was a church of about 300 to 500 people when he started pastoring. And the church began to grow, began to experience a lot of growth and people coming, people being saved, and a lot of new people coming into the church. And so I was he was just sharing the story, and then he felt like God called them to go, and they bought a piece of property and they started building a new church, a new building to house what God was doing. And the church that they were in sat about 800 to 1,000 people. And he just started believing this promise that God was speaking into his life. It was beyond anything he had ever pastored before. It was beyond anything he had a point of reference for. In fact, they built a church that sat 5,500 people. They went from a church of 800 people to seating 5,500 people. And he's sharing this, and I'm just like, wow, what a huge step of faith, especially knowing what I now am pastoring a church. Like, all that goes into that decision And he just stepped out and he said, for the first few couple of years, he said they would only have like maybe 1,200 people in church. You can imagine what 1,200 people in a church of 5,500 people would feel like. And so he said they would have a Sunday morning service and then they would have a Sunday night service. And he said, what I decided to do, he said, on our Sunday night services, he said it got to where there'd be, you know, be about half full on Sunday night in the lower section. They had a balcony that sat about another 1,500 people. And he said, on Sunday nights, Donnie, he said, I would go and I would preach to the balcony. There was nobody there. He said, but I just preached to the balcony. So I'd get up there and I would just start preaching to all the people. I didn't know them. I had never met them. I didn't even see their face. I just started preaching. He said, man, Sunday nights, he said, were the best times for me when I was preaching. He's like, there was people being saved in the balcony. There were families that were being restored in the balcony. People were coming down out of the balcony and they were making decisions to give their life to Christ and decisions to get baptized. He's like, people got healed up in the balcony. And I thought, that's why I want to live like that. I told our first service this morning because this section was completely empty in the first section. So I said, just pardon me for a few minutes. And I started doing that. I just started preaching. So here's what we're doing in second service. I want to preach to all the empty chairs. There's a few empty chairs this morning. And you may not see it this morning. I don't have a frame of reference. I don't know who these people are. But I'm just preaching to the people that are sitting like in that chair right there. The people that are coming to Red Chapel. And that person's about to get saved. And that guy's about to get baptized. Oh, that couple right there that they came and their marriage is on the rocks. But man, I'm just preaching because it's exciting to see your marriage put back together. And your kids were away from God. Yours were. But now look, your children, they made their way back to God. They surrendered. Your finance, right there, that person right there. Your finances were in shambles. But look at you now. Man, look at you go. Look at God. Look what God's doing in. That's the way I want to live my life in 2018. I want to be able to see what I cannot see. I want to be able through faith to look through the lens of what the promises of God is. And that's what God's speaking to you right now. This is the way that God's speaking to you. This is the way he's speaking to Abraham. He's telling him, I know you don't have any children, Abraham, but you're going to have so many kids. They're going to be as many as the sand of the earth and the sky, the stars of the sky. That's the language that the Holy Spirit is speaking this Sunday morning at Red Chapel to you today. God's trying to spark future and vision and promises and vision into your life today. And that's why I told you, you're gonna live a life without limits. I know. Because I know what the enemy's telling me right now. He's like, oh, that couple's not gonna be in church next Sunday, Pastor Donnie. That couple you preached to, they ain't even gonna be here. Guess what? Yes, they are. They're gonna be here. That man that was on drugs, that was addicted, but now he's delivered. He's coming through the doors of Red Chapel, one of the Sunday mornings of 2018. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. Why don't you start believing the promises of God in your life like that? Why don't you just start believing the promises of God are sure? They go beyond your qualifications, your expectations, and your imagination. That's the language that the Holy Spirit is speaking today. That's the language that the Holy Spirit is speaking today. So, what are your promises? What has God promised you this morning? What's God speaking to you this morning? Let me ask you this. What are you allowing to stand in the way of your promises? Maybe for some of you, life's good. I mean, look, church is pretty full this morning. I was all excited, actually. I was like, man, there's a lot of people here today. We got guests this morning. This is so exciting. It'd be great. Like, things are good. But what city that's good is keeping you from a land that's great? Maybe for some of you, God's calling you out of a place of complacency today. God's saying, I know things are good. That's not what I called you to. Tara, I didn't call you to Haran. I told you about a land called Canaan, a land that was endless. I didn't tell you you're going to have one child. I know your family's great. I told you you're going to have a family, descendants today. You know how many people consider Abraham the father of their faith? Millions of people today consider him Father Abraham. What if Abraham decided, nah, things are good here in Haran, man. Like, this is the town everybody wants to come to. That's what happens for people. Some of you have been saved. God's been doing things in your life. Your family looks good. You finally got a good job. You finally got a little bit of money in the savings account. Things are going well. And you thought that was it. I'm here to tell you this morning, that's not the promises of God in your life. When God speaks to you, you don't have a point of reference. It's more than you can measure. It's more than the $1,000 in your bank account. What God has for you is more than you can measure this morning. That's what you need to believe today, is that's what God is calling. So what are your promises? And maybe more importantly, what are the limits that you've placed on yourself from receiving the promises of God? What if today we just decided, let's get it over with, the first Sunday of 2018, that we're taking the limits off? What if we decided, I'm living this, because this is what I'm doing. And I'm decided in 2018, I'm going to live a life without limits. I'm just going to do that. I'm just going to live a life this year that's full of faith. And I'm going to see things that I can't see. I'm going to be able to peer through faith into a lens, into a world that's a lot more real than the world that we can see today. I'm going to believe for the promises of God. I want you to close your eyes for just a moment. I want you to open your ears, your heart, and your imagination this morning to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because he's speaking today. I know his language. He's speaking to you in dreams and visions right now. He's speaking promise into your life. He's speaking future. He's speaking vision. He's speaking that right now. And you have a choice. You can either be as Tara, and you can choose to settle where you're at now, or you can just do like Abraham. You hear God's voice, you obey God's word, you pack up your bags from where you're at right now, and you say, God, keep picking up camp, and I'm going to follow you towards your promise.